Water around the Wirt Smith Air Force Base in Oscoda, Michigan, was discovered to be contaminated by PFAS in 2010. And to this day, the problem has not been solved. In a new documentary entitled No Defense, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Sarah Ghanem explores why U.S. EPA has failed to regulate PFAS in drinking water, or even force the cleanup of sites like Oscoda. The film is loaded with moments showing what it's like to live in a place where toxicity has become such a part of everyday life.
For 3 years, we hauled water in here because we were afraid about the contamination. And people would say, well, you know, it's been here forever. But over the years, so many people have had cancer in my family. And I just accepted that was sort of our genetic fate.
No Defense screens in Ann Arbor tonight with its producer in attendance. Sarah Ghanem is, again, winner of a Pulitzer Prize for her journalism work breaking the Jerry Sandusky story. And Tony Spaniola will be there as well. He's an attorney and founding member of Need Our Water in Oscoda, a longtime activist on water issues. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, you had lived in Michigan, but had not been here for several years. What brought you back to Michigan and to Oscoda?
You're right. I was born really not that far from here in Livonia, Michigan. I first came back really for work during the Flint water crisis. I was with CNN and very quickly realized that it was not a story that could be covered in a couple of days and ended up spending quite a bit of time here over several months. And during that time, that's really where the beginning of the story was for me, because the issue of water contamination across America, that was where I was enlightened to that issue. And that was where I met a lot of the people who eventually told me about this story in Oscoda. And it wasn't until several years later, I left CNN after I had a baby. I knew I wanted to continue to cover water contamination in America, not just in Michigan, but I also knew I wanted to return here and find out how Flint had changed the way the state looked at water contamination. And immediately, this story was right in front of me. And it was such a visual story. The moment that I first met Tony in Oscoda on Van Etten Lake, I mean, to me, it wasn't a story that should be told in any other form than a visual form, because it was so complex, but also very visual. And I wanted people to feel the same way I felt when I first visited. I wanted them to see what I saw.
Which are these beautiful lakes and forests and houses situated picturesquely all around the edge of the lakes, and people who've built their lives around a gorgeous natural setting, which turns out to be totally poisonous.
Absolutely. I mean, in any other, you know, any other circumstance, I would want to bring my family there. I would want to share what looks like amazing times, right? And then, you know, the more you learn about what's really going on, it's very heartbreaking to see it for the people who have to deal with it, and for people not just with, you know, a picturesque lake house, but people who maybe don't live on the lake but are still dealing with the contamination and cannot afford to go anywhere else or to live any other way. Those people in the present right now, they're stuck. They just have to take it. And that's part of the story that we tell.
Just a quick recap. When we say PFAS, we're talking about that class of chemicals that is widely used industrially in the United States and around the world, especially in military air bases and airports, but also in many, many, many different consumer products, everything from rainware to nail polish, as the film notes. Tony, a lot of Michiganders have been awakened to the danger of PFAS. What aspects of the story did you feel still had not been told that could be unlocked with this film?
Well, I felt that it was really important for people around the state and the country to understand what people in their daily lives in Oscoda and places like Oscoda have to contend with. So many times we hear things, you know, with this alphabet soup of PFAS, and then there's 5,000 or 6,000 or however many of those chemicals, and they start talking in scientific terms. We lose the fact that it impacts people, and it impacts people in a very, very major way. So I think that it's that story that hasn't been told. And what also hasn't been told, I don't think, or realized, is that Oscoda really is ground zero nationally. It's the first military installation, actually in the world, U.S. military installation in the world at which this was discovered, and the first site in Michigan. And pretty much everything in Michigan that's happened on PFAS can trace its roots back to Oscoda. So I think that's another really important aspect of this.
That process of selecting the details in everyday life that are going to really tell the story. Sarah, you had a lot of choices. You talked to people who worked on the base with firefighting foam, people who washed their cars in it, people who took their kids to go play in the stuff. It's so shocking how normalized everything was, but how did you make your decisions among the many ways in which this was normalized in Oscoda life?
That was a big challenge, you know. We ended up with, I would say, 5 to 6 really, you know, strong characters who we wanted to tell their stories, and then a couple of experts on top of that, which was still, it was still a challenge to tell all of those stories in 72, 73 minutes. But really, for me, there's two things here. There's the historic contamination when the base and bases like it were active. The exposure the veterans who worked on these bases, you know, had from drinking the water, from using AFFF, and the civilians who worked there too. So there's that. And then there's the present day. In a lot of contamination stories, when they're historical like this, you can't go back. You cannot change the way that things were done. And that you sort of view that through a certain prism. But when you're talking about that combined with the fact that as we sit here and have this conversation, this chemical is still leaching out of the from the base
as
and into the lake. Right. It's still happening. And there is nothing being done to stop it from happening. Very little being done to stop it from happening. So there are people who live there right now who are still exposed. And there is very little help for them. And so to me, that was really the two parts that we had to tell. We had to talk about the historic contamination and what that did to people, but also how those lessons have not yet been learned from.
This piles on to an article that Bridge Magazine published back in November that noted it's 2010 to 2019 at the writing of the article, and there is still no plan for the cleanup. Tony, has Oscoda seen any changes since November?
No. I'm sorry to say that.
That's a devastatingly short answer.
Yeah. No, there has been. The Air Force has submitted a draft of the next phase of what they plan to do. It's lengthy. Just received it, so I haven't had a chance to read it in detail. But no, there's still no timeline. There's still no timeline to when they'll have a plan. And we have these contaminants leaching, you know, to a public beach, at which safety hazard warnings have been issued for this foam. Nothing, no plans to even deal with that in the short term. Very, very frustrating. Very frustrating.
The organization that you co-founded, Need Our Water, what are you prioritizing right now, given where things stand?
Our number one priority is for the Air Force to stop the bleeding of these contaminants and contain it within the base, to stop it from going into the groundwater and the surface water, primarily the surface water, would be the Ausable River and Van Etten Lake, which come together and flow into Lake Huron. Everything that comes from that base ends up in Lake Huron, which is a source of drinking water for millions of people. So what we're saying is, you know, stop the bleeding, put a tourniquet on this, and then let's go from there.
Sarah, as you note in the film, the U.S. military is the largest single emitter of PFAS chemicals in the country, but it's far from the only one. Mm. And again, these chemicals are still not regulated. Can you catch us up on what stands in the way of that right now?
Well, that's a question that we explore in this film. What stands in the way of it? You know, we have known about these chemicals for a long time, and people who are in the scientific and government communities have known about it even longer. I mean, the public is starting to catch up to where the science has been for a while. And I don't think there's an end in sight to regulating PFAS. When you talk to people on Capitol Hill, it's not around the corner. And, you know, that was one of my first questions. Why not? It's clearly toxic. So what's standing in the way of regulating it? And that's a big tie-in to this story. There's a huge conflict of interest. The federal government is the largest polluter of this chemical that we know of in the United States. And it's also the regulator or the entity that determines if there should be regulation. And when the science is as clear as it is, I think that leads you right to the question of, well, why aren't they doing anything?
Sarah Ganim is the producer of No Defense. She is known for her work with CNN and also for stories breaking the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse case. We've also been talking with Tony Spaniola, a founding member of Need Our Water in Oscoda, Michigan, and an attorney. Both of you, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The film No Defense will premiere in Ann Arbor's Michigan Theater tonight.